and welcome to From Our Perspective, Two Therapist Moms and a Mic. I'm Claudia Glassman.
And I'm Katie Truax.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So you brought our topic today.
Yes. Okay. So my poor kid who struggled with social stuff at school for what she pointed out to me has been 5 years now.
Yeah.
She comes home the other day. It's been kind of a relatively uneventful week, right? Which is always a good thing. You know, the report after school is always how, you know, fine. Everything's been fine. No drama. Great. So she says the other day, she goes, yeah, well, so-and-so's having a birthday party, sleepover. And I'm not invited.
Yeah.
Okay. And so little piece of information, my daughter goes to a small school. So she has a very small class and the minority of that small class are females. So there's a small group of females that she is exposed to. And that's it. The way this class is, they don't really intermingle with the class above them or below them. It's just this small group of girls. And I would just, without having a minute to count, like, let's just say 7 of them.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah.
So my kid who wants to belong so badly and who doesn't really have any concrete reason from anybody or any feedback why she's not belonging.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get invited. And not only did she not get invited to the sleepover, but the sleepover is happening on the same evening as another girl's in their class. She's having her bat mitzvah ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So all the girls in the class are invited to the bat mitzvah for her, where she's apparently giving a speech. It's a very important time in this girl's life.
Yeah.
And so a huge subset of the 7 are electing to not go to the bat mitzvah, to have a sleepover where not everybody's invited. And my child is one that's not invited. So not only is my kid like left out, but this poor girl who's celebrating her bat mitzvah is going to look out into the audience and her girlfriends aren't going to be there. They're going to be at a sleepover without her. So like, I am like my husband, interestingly enough, who's like, cool as a cucumber. He's having all these reactions to this. He's like mad. He's like so mad.
That's funny. Yeah. He's like, girl stuff is no joke. So I think for starters, this 6th, 7th, 8th grade, like this middle school cluster.
Yes.
Is tough.
It's so tough.
And I think, you know, it's really normal, I think, between 6th and 7th grade and that kind of spot,
mm-hmm.
for friendships to fall apart. I think this, and for things, for social circles to change drastically. The problem is, what does that look like when there's only 7 kids?
Right.
It's like one kid is the social circle that changes drastically, right? It's like, I feel like you're being in that small community, your social stuff is amplified because there's nowhere to go.
Right. There's nobody else to hang out with. And they're all together all day at school doing everything, right? Like my kids this week, she's like, oh, so-and-so and I, what, look, let me show you our handshake that we have. This kid, that she's not invited to the party, right? They have this secret handshake, 2 of them this week. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, I've got to get so-and-so a gift for her birthday. Like, okay. You're not invited, dude. Like, you are not invited.
Yeah.
You know? And right. So this age is such a transitionary age, right? Where, yeah, friendships are changing. I mean, it is normative to move from kind of like where we were at the beginning of the year, right? So Ellie's birthday is in August. So she had a sleepover for her birthday also. But what was normative at that time, almost, I don't know, not quite a year ago now, right? Beginning of the school year. Now we're wrapping up the school year.
Yeah.
Was everybody was invited. Every single female in that class was invited, period.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's very different. Now, what's right and what's wrong? I don't know. My husband thinks it's wrong that not every female in the class is invited to the sleepover. he thinks that was a poor decision on the parents' part to allow that to unfold, right? And I don't know the answer to that. Where do you, because at some point, right, you do have to be able to say, well, listen, this is my tribe, right? These are my friends. And these are the people that I want to hang out with. And I don't want to hang out with every single person in my class. And that has to be able to be okay.
Yes. Right. Right. So how you teach kindness, but also honor everyone's desire to choose their own friends.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think we navigate that all the time. And as parents, it's like, okay, where do I step back? Mm-hmm. And when do I step in? I'm of the mindset of when in doubt, don't get involved, because mm-hmm. I've also seen my kids not have, like, get in a fight and like, we're not friends anymore. And then like 2 days later, they're back at it. I can't ride that roller coaster with you.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Because I know it's ever changing, or you have a fight in 1 minute. And if you ride it out long enough, it will course correct one way or another, whether you're not friends and it calms down, or whether you're back to friendship. Right. But it is hard when your circle is so small and everything is so blaringly in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it then fair to say, well, you do have to invite everyone because it's small numbers.
Right.
When, you know, not everyone's my cup of tea either. That's okay. But then what do you do as the parent of the person who's not?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong, you know, that's why I wanted to kind of bring this up, is because, you know, my husband has his opinions, but like, I don't know, right? I can see all sides of this, you know, and at the end of the day, what we decided, to your, you know, to your point, is that we just have to be that safe space for her at home and try to have a fun time at home. And that, you know, unfortunately, she's still at an age where it feels that way, you know, where she still enjoys being around us. And it does feel like we're a safe space and yeah. we can have fun, the three of us at home. But yeah, it's so tough. And it's interesting to see how it's evolved, like even to the parental involvement, like last year, right? Last year was fifth grade for us. And there was a lot of parental involvement. There was a lot of drama. There was some bullying. There were some kids were introducing things that the rest of the parents felt were inappropriate for the age group. And the parents did a lot of talking.
Mm.
This year, there's no parent talking.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, she got a book from the book fair. It's called 12 Going on 22, I believe. And it's kind of cute. She started reading it to us at night because we're at this age where mommy wants to go to bed before Ellie wants to go to bed. And so she'll be like, well, I can read to you. And I'm like, great. As long as I can lay my head on my pillow and close my eyes, you can read to me. That sounds amazing. So she's reading this little novel to me. And it's really kind of cool the way it's written, because it's written very like present day. It's written like, I mean, they talk about Instagram and TikTok, and like, it's like real, like on trend.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl in the book, she's like, oh, she's having this freak out moment, right? Where she's like at the popular kid's birthday party. And she's like, she had this realization that she wasn't invited, that somehow like her mother had talked to the other girl's mother and had arranged for her to be there, even though I think the girl's name was Celia, didn't want her there, that she was not invited by Celia. And so I like open my eyes in bed and I'm like, so does that mean that like, I'm not supposed to call these girls moms? And Ellie's like, no, mom, no, you do not get involved anymore. And I'm like, okay, like noted, mom. Now it is, the table has turned. It is the season of fend for yourself.
Yeah, it is. And it's ever changing and ever evolving. And it's dramatic for everyone, even the people you think it wouldn't be, right? So yeah, I mean, again, my involvement is on my end with my kids, conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an issue last week. I don't know, some school shenanigans. I don't know, some drama. Someone's mad about something or thought someone was talking trash behind someone's back, you know, middle school stuff. And my role, and I knew something was up because there was a lot of silence that afternoon, and there's not typically a lot of silence. And it didn't come out until bedtime.
course.
I got blank stares and I said, what's new with you? What's going on with you today? How are you really doing?
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing. And then I left and said goodnight. And then I got a mom. And I come in and there's just, can you give me a hug? And then just tears.
Oh.
And we sat with it. And I mean, I honestly had a hard time following the story because it was a lot of like, you knows, and it was what it, you know, like a lot of like non-answer answers. So I don't know the details. It doesn't even matter. But right, my solution was just that's so hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks. Right. That mm-hmm. sucks when you think your friends are mad at you and when you have to go to school tomorrow and you're not sure what to expect. Mm-hmm. Right. That I remember those days. It sucks. And there's anxiety and there's, but I said, I know one thing to be true and you're not going to want this. Like you take this for what you want from like an old person who's been through this. I've been through this.
Right.
I've survived this. You will too. And it's going to feel crappy. And it's okay if there's tears mm-hmm. and it's okay if there's rage and it's okay if all the things, but like you won't always be here, mm-hmm. like in this space.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you think your kids don't listen to you. So there's tears, there was hugs. She regrouped, went to sleep. And then something came up with my other one about a challenging little boy in class, different age group. Right now we're talking third grade, so different problems. But, you know, it won't always be like this. You'll move through it. It won't always be that. And I'm like, you did listen. Right now she's reiterating it to her younger sister.
Love that.
Of if you can just hold out, it will change on its own. Mm-hmm. Right. And then she gave an example of someone being mad at her last week and now she's over it. She forgot about why she was mad at her and everything's fine. Right. So I think that's it, right? It's just holding the space for the drama to unfold because like you can't stop it.
Right.
I don't understand, you know, I work with a lot of kids and they'll come in and they're like, they'll come in because they're being bullied. And honestly, as an adult sitting across from these children, they are delightful. I cannot figure out what the thing is, right? Right. Kind of what you're saying with Ellie. Like, what's the one thing they're latching onto that's causing right. her to feel excluded?
Yeah.
I have not figured it out either. Maybe there's some kind of projection or envy that's going on or power plays where like, if I put you down, I feel better. I don't know. Cause I don't know these other kids. Right. But I've often sat across from my clients. I'm like, I can't figure it out. You are such a delightful little person, you know? And like, I'd be your friend if I was like in middle school or elementary school or whatever, you know? So the social dynamics, I don't think we as adults can understand them fully. Unless you're like really like sitting at the school observing all of it. And I think they're also so impacted by who's involved, the temperaments of the kids involved, right? The types of people. I even think from year to year, it can be different. I've talked to people that like their kids are in seventh grade with the same kids they've been in school with since they were like five and now are having issues and getting picked on. And what shifted?
Right.
The same kids, like these were your friends all these years and now it shifted. So something happens, like, mm-hmm. Like they're flexing their social muscles, they're flexing power dynamics, like, right. Something kind of shifts in this age group and makes it so messy for us parents to figure out.
Well, okay. So let me ask you this, cause you brought up a good point. So we know for sure we're no longer supposed to intervene in the case of like, or in the sense of like, calling the parents, right? Or talking to the
unless there's like
something major.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there's a point where maybe you do need to intervene, right? Like if it's severe bullying behavior, like, yes, you need to get the school involved to monitor it. Maybe the other parents, right? Like if it's,
mm-hmm.
if it's
normal kind of stuff, like really not getting involved, not getting invited to the sleepover.
Yeah. I mean,
no, we don't call for that.
No, because no. I get what, like, you know, when Ellie's like, don't do that, because socially what is now you're at a party that no one wanted you at mm-hmm. and you're there because your mom called. That is not going to, you didn't actually win. No. Now you're just in a really uncomfortable situation because the dynamics are still there, but now you have to experience them for whatever this party duration is. Right. Whereas at least she can be happy at home instead of having to suffer through a party where she is still not wanted and is only there because you demanded it.
I know.
That is probably worse than knowing
right.
Yeah.
At 11 and a half, going on 12. I know.
Yeah, that's so bad. Like, I know as an adult don't want to be in that situation.
No, my God. Right? Right?
And I have more like skills to maneuver than a kiddo, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
So no, don't call. Don't make that phone call.
We don't call. We don't call.
Don't call.
All right. So what was it? 2 weeks ago? Last week, Ellie didn't get chosen to, I hope she doesn't grow up and like listen to this podcast.
We got to delete this podcast.
Okay. She didn't get chosen for a group project. It was one of those things. I don't know if I mentioned this before or not, but an art, they had to do group projects. And I was like, okay, everybody choose a partner. Well, everybody paired up and Ellie wasn't paired. And so Ellie's working alone. And Rob, my husband, did a really great job of spinning that because Ellie's a creative into, well, awesome. You get to do, you know, you have full creative freedom, right? This must have been like 2 or 3 weeks ago because I remember at the time considering, like questioning this, right? And thinking, what is it? Is there something, right, that is happening to your point of like, well, we're not there at school. We're not seeing things in the social milieu, right? We're not seeing things unfold. Is there something that, right, my child is doing behaviorally, right, that could be helping create some of these social dynamics that are painful for her, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a part of me that thought, maybe I'll message the teacher to say, is there any feedback that maybe I could discuss with Ellie about things that could help it, you know, help social relationships go more smoothly for her at school? But then I feel really conflicted about that. So I want to hear your opinion about that, right? Because on one hand, I feel like, okay, I can see the role of a parent being, let's work on this skill, babe, that needs to be worked on, right? We do this with younger kids, right? Like, well, look somebody in the eye, shake the hand, don't hit kids, right? Say thank you, say please, you know, mm-hmm. We're teaching, we're training, right? We're molding that beautiful block of clay, if you will, that has been given to us to mold in this world. But then at some point again, right, we have to step back and let them be them and unfold as them, right? And be their fullest expression of their selves.
Yeah.
And do we intervene? When do we intervene? Or do we just love unconditionally and again, create that safe space at home to say, well, I see you and I love you and I think you're amazing.
Mm. Yeah. That's a really good question. And I guess my answer would depend on what's the feedback you get.
When I never asked, because I yeah. thought, well, I don't know if I should ask for the feedback.
I mean, because I think if it's something blatant, like, right, she comes in and she immediately takes over and tells everyone they're stupid and they suck. I know she right. would do this, right? Examples. Ellie is not going to do that. But, right, like, something that maybe she could gain some insight on. And I get whereas a kid wouldn't report their role because she may not know that's how she's being experienced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have two thoughts on this. I guess one, if you do nothing, the social world of children will make sure to inform her of what they approve and do not approve of just by default, although she may not put all the dots together.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a subtle, we just don't invite her places versus you're so bossy and mean all the time. It's very different. But I can see where both things could be valid, right? Where maybe the behavior is obvious enough that like maybe there is some like social skills training, right? Or how do you ask for what you need in a way that is can be heard by others,
mm-hmm.
right? And doesn't come across as accusatory mm-hmm. or unkind.
Mm-hmm.
Although hearing girls specifically I'll speak to in this age group talk to each other. They use tones with one another and they're very accepting of a tone that if you spoke to me like that, Katie, and we're friends, I'd be like, why are you so mean? They are very like a lot of like one-upping.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you struggle with someone, somebody like, you don't know that? It's mm-hmm. like,
right.
Why you gotta be that way about like, but that is, and so as an adult, and this is where I think it's up to us. And even when you get feedback from teachers, right, what they pick up on versus what is actually a problem in that social world may not be the same. Because mm-hmm. That was like something that happened when my daughter's having a sleepover the other day. And we were sitting at dinner with all the kiddos. And I was like, oh, I don't like that. But like none of the kids at the table had a reaction. It was just like, no, I don't know that. Or yeah, I do, but I just forgot or whatever the answer was. And I was like, that felt icky to me as the adult. Like it felt like a nasty tone to me. I felt like you could have not put someone down, but that's like that is part of their communication style, is very blunt. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And transparent. There's not a lot of like fluffing things up, right? Yeah. I think even when we give advice, do we give good advice or do we give crappy? Yeah. But yeah. I think I don't know. You can always ask for feedback. What do you notice, teacher? Because it's also possible the teacher says, I don't notice anything. I don't know. Because mm-hmm. it can be so subtle that they may not be seeing anything. You know?
Right. Yes. Well, and you bring up another good point, right? What if there was a day, right, when we had kids in our home or in our car that didn't belong to us? It was our role as parents to monitor behavior and, right, reinforce good behavior and intervene in, you know, not okay behavior, right, between mm-hmm. kiddos. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, that's not nice. Let's share, you know, right? Yeah. We now don't as much, right? We let things unfold.
Right. More. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And we have to watch the struggle and tolerate it. And I think the other struggle is like, we get triggered as the parents, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that doesn't feel good to me. Or you just said what to my kid, but my kid doesn't seem to care, right? But I care, you know? Yeah. And it's a lot of stepping back and just saying, I'm going to watch this unfold. And you can always have conversations about it later. Or we have a lot of conversations, not about any specific incident, because I notice when I talk about one thing, like my kids can shut down, mm. right? Or even how do you provide feedback on how you, kiddo, are interacting with people without me potentially shaming you around that, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? Unintentionally, of course. But then am I validating your experience or am I undermining it because I'm now telling you what to correct?
Okay.
And so we have a lot of conversations, not about a specific thing, but more like generalized, how do you deal with people, right? Even this morning in the car ride, we were talking about friends in air quotes, holding things over your head so that you feel like, whether it's the little saying, I won't be your friend if you don't give me X, Y, and Z, right? That was a fun one. Or whether it's older ones being like, if you tell on me for this, then I'll tell them you did that. Right? Like this, like hostage keeping kind of stuff, this like blackmail-y stuff. And again, as an adult, my instinct is to be like, who freaking cares? This won't matter in 5 years. However, in middle school world, and even in elementary school world, for Kenzie, it matters, right? So we just have a lot of conversations around what kind of people do we want to be surrounded by? Do we want to involve someone in our life who makes us feel like we can't be free because they're going to hold things over our head? Do we want to be friends with someone who at any moment may turn on us because we didn't do what they wanted? Right? Do we want to be friends with someone who judges us every time I say, I don't know how to do this, and gives me that tone? Right? Like, do we want to be friends with people that make us not feel great about ourselves? Or do we want to be friends people that like, you know, lift us up? It doesn't mean they don't challenge us, right? But that like, we can be comfortable around. And I get that what I'm asking are very adult concepts because they're growing into their own. So what does that even mean? But they know how they feel when they're around certain people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have a lot of general conversations about that. Now, are they going to make great decisions now? No, I know they're going to pick crappy friends potentially, mm-hmm. or friends that are not the best for them. But at least we're having a conversation. So when they are with someone who doesn't make them feel good or makes them question their value or worth, they can say, maybe this isn't mm-hmm. what I should invest in. You know? Yes. But it's hard. I mean, we have this, our school is small too. And that's the conversation we have a lot is, yeah, but mom, if I'm not friends with these people, who am I friends with? Right. And luckily none of it is that dramatic. I think it's just, as you get older, your interests change. Mm-hmm. And in some ways they don't line up the same way as they did 3 years ago, you know, kids kind of go into different directions on what they're interested in, how they develop, like socially and emotionally. And I think sometimes they can outgrow each other just kind of organically. And the feedback I get is, yeah, that's great and all, but what if you don't have choices?
Right. Great context, Mom.
Yeah. And I, you know, and I say again, everything's temporary. Mm-hmm. Right. You won't always be at the school. You won't always be in this world. You won't always be with these people, like new people, like things will shift, right? One way or another. Or the kids you're around change, and maybe they do catch up to them and you do reconnect and you do align in a year or two from now. Right. But it's all so much of us just holding space and sitting back and watching them struggle.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I wonder like how much for Ellie is a function of age, because she is the youngest in the class.
Mm.
And it is such a time of rapid development.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things where she's aware that she doesn't align with the other kids are things that she doesn't want to be part of and doesn't have interest in.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it are things like, you know, makeup, boys talking about sex, TikTok, social media, things that either we have said no to, like for example, TikTok and social media are a no for her for right now. Yeah. Or that she's just not, like, she doesn't want to talk about sex with boys. Like, no, she is not down with that, man. She doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Like another piece where she diverges is a lot of the kids in her class use cuss words, and my daughter does not, which I think is hilarious, because as you know, I have the mouth of a trucker and have never sheltered her from that.
I do. You know, I think this is going to be a sidebar. I have the mouth of a trucker too, as you well know. And Ansley has the same sticking point. I don't want to be cursing just because they curse. And I'm like, I'm your mom. How do you like,
right? You
know, I think that's their defiance.
You think against us?
It's not, maybe defiance is not the right word, but their individuation, right? If I'm going to break off from you, you curse, yeah. I won't. Because I also find it hysterical. I'm like, that's the hill we're going to be like, I won't say this word. And like, you literally probably heard it today.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. She has the same sticking point, and it kind of makes me chuckle, because I'm like, you know, I'm your mom, right? And she's like, right. Like, yes. I don't want to be someone. So I think it's funny that our kids are both like that.
No. And I keep apologizing to my kid. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm your mom. She's like, don't say that, mommy. I love you. And I love that you're my mom, you know, but it's funny to me, because I think all her friends think that one boy said that I was Karen, because they think that I'm like this square, because I don't let her do TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat, and she doesn't cuss. So they think that we live in this, you know, like prim and proper, like Amish household without electricity, where I turn butter, and like, it is not that way.
That's funny. Well, right. Also, because I'm not cursing around my kids' friends. Right. Yeah. Like,
right. That's probably true.
No. So yeah, my kids are amazed that I can turn it off. They're like, how do you like work with kids? I'm like, well, I don't curse when I work with kids. Like, how? It comes out so freely. I'm like, because this is my space, my home, my comfort. Like, there's like a professional me and a non-professional me, right? And like, I don't know, it shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
But in my private life, it's bad. That's for another podcast for another day.
Okay to cuss in front of your children.
Well, I mean,
very divided.
And no, right? I'm sure some parents would be like, that's horrible. Like, why would you do that? For me, it's just expression. It's just words. And it's about knowing when to use it and when not to use it. Like I said, mm-hmm. I don't go into sessions with the kids I work with and like drop F-bombs. Mm-hmm. I don't even curse when I work with adolescents, but I allow them to curse if that's how they need to express themselves. Right. But I don't, they're just words. It's like an emphasis. And sometimes you need a good F before yeah. something to really emphasize.
Really strong adjective.
Like what you need, you know what you mean? So
I work with adults. I have a jar of fucks on the table beside my chair that you happen to give me. And so when my clients sit on the couch across from me, there's yours. Yes. So they see this, like that's their first impression of me, right? Is they see the books, they see my coffee, they see my water, and then they see my jar of fucks. And they're like, is that a jar of fucks? And I'm like, it is. They're like, okay, noted, you know? And off the bat, they know that, like, this is a free zone, that they're going to use those words and I'm going to use those words. And that, so far, I've never had a client, like, choose to not come back. But I can imagine that if that felt like a really bad fit for them, they might not come back, right? If somebody were really, like, conservative, because I'm not, at least not with my mouth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, it's not like you're cursing in the session, right? Like, it's so funny because I'll clients like apologize, be like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, if you only heard me like 5 minutes from now, you know, because they don't, it's so funny. Yeah. I really wonder, like, because I don't do it first. I should say, I shouldn't say I never curse in a session. Mm-hmm. Because if I think that is a way that a client can hear communication, I absolutely will.
Yeah.
Right. Or I'll repeat what they said. But I get a lot of apologies. I'm like, if you only knew.
Yeah.
But that's a segue. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So Ellie doesn't want to curse and she's not in
the divergence from the norm, right? That's where, like, my kid's struggling. And the interesting thing is that she doesn't want to do it, though. You know, the other day she came out of her, so skincare is this buzzword. Is in LA school, is that a buzzword?
We're knee deep into skincare. Yeah.
Okay. So skincare's a thing. And my kid, as of right now, like, unlike me, doesn't have skin challenges. Man, my skin was terrible when I was an adolescent. Hers is not. She has beautiful, fair, she's a redhead with freckles, and her skin is great. And the rare time it's not, you can't see because she's covered in freckles. So you just, there's no apparent problems. But so these kids, man, I mean, it's like a, let me see your skincare drawer. Like, ugh. I have three drawers full. You only have one drawer full. Right? Yeah. Or like, guess you didn't get up early enough to take care of your skin this morning. And Ellie came home one day and she goes, Mommy, I noticed this one girl, she had really beautiful skin. And I thought she must do a lot to take care of her skin. So I'm going to try to take care of my skin now. And I thought that's probably a beautiful way to start a new trend, right? Is appreciating something positive and someone else and say, you know what? I want to emulate that. I want to be a little bit more like that because I think that's nice. Mm-hmm. Versus like this peer pressure of like, ugh, you didn't do your skincare today.
Yeah.
I have to do my skincare.
The skincare, and I mean, skincare is like
7 layers deep, man. I don't have these many products.
Well, it's about trends and, you know, what's trendy. And this is where my involvement lies too. So I've had to let go of a lot because I can only lock down so much before my kids can go out and make her own decisions. Ansley is into skincare, although inconsistently purchases the products, may not use them all the time. Right. Yeah. Just fine. I'm like, it's your allowance. You can blow your money on what you want to blow it on. And if a $30 bottle of moisturizer is what you choose, go for it. But I'm also like, dude, we could just do some like castor oil and tallow and you're good to go.
Right.
But it is how they connect with each other. Right. And it is a little bit social media driven. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I'll get, well, this product is on TikTok and they say it's great. I'm like, they get paid to say it's great. So we have a lot of conversations about the underlying issue of that, mm-hmm. right? These influencers get paid to say something is great. They get the free product. You, 11-year-old, are purchasing this for $40, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about the misleadingness of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's necessary. Yeah. I am no, you know, skin expert, but
you have beautiful.
But do we need all this I'm pretty sure that, like, maybe I washed my face at 11 different times, right? This is the other thing, right? Like, you think about when you were a kid, things I was not into, even with a sister 5 years older than me, mm-hmm. was skincare.
Mm-hmm. No,
they are marketing. I went into Sephora the other day. Mm. It's so I used to go into Sephora like in college, and it was like adults. Yeah. If you go to Sephora now, it's like middle schoolers. They're really? Like little people. It's a whole bunch of, like, you know, our kids. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's little people.
I have
the line is little people. And then there's still adults in there because, right. But it's so many kids going to Sephora to buy these products.
Wow.
That's your mark. I mean, that's brilliant marketing, right? But yeah, it's it is hard when you're not into those things and everyone else is. But there's always, I mean, there's got to be another Ellie, right? There's got to be another person who doesn't care. Just maybe not in the seven people she's around.
Well, right. It's interesting because there's a couple of other little subgroups, right? But Ellie doesn't feel like those are her people either, right? I think this is my kid. She wants to be in, like, let's just call it the popular group. Let's just, because that's what it was when I was that age, right? The popular kids, like the kids, you're like, they just have that it thing, right? They're the pretty ones. They're the, like, oh man, like they dress the right way. And they're the ones the boys think are pretty, you know, like she wants to be in that group. She wants to be wanted in that group, even though she's a little bit different from them. And she doesn't want to change who she is to act like she's somebody that she's not.
Right.
But the alternatives, she's also like, yeah, I mean, I like them, but she doesn't feel like they are her cup of tea either. And truthfully, there's only like, again, it's like, let's say if there were seven, it would be like, or maybe there's like, let's just say there's 10 and there's like five kids that are like the popular kids, and maybe four who are just like on the fringe and kind of their own little vibe, right? Like she doesn't feel like any of the vibes are her vibe, you know? So we're just trying to have our own little fun at home, man. You know, she and I watched Legally Blonde the other night. Daddy was out. Daddy had to do a little work at night for our event planning company because we had somebody call out. And so Daddy had to go to the beach, and Ellie and I had a girls' night. She cooked us dinner, and we watched Legally Blonde and snuggled with the pets on the couch, you know, and stuff like that, trying to fill the cup up.
Yeah. I also think, like, I wonder how much of it is, like, how much it really bothers her. And I know she verbalizes it bothers her, but it doesn't bother her enough to do anything different.
Right.
And I do think, you know, both of my kids are very different. I have one kid who's never met a stranger. I mean, when she was little, I'd have a number of people on my phones. I don't even know who these people are. They're probably still in there. It's like, we got phone numbers everywhere we went. Every camp we go to, every sport we play, there's friends.
Yeah.
And then I have another kid who's like, I got one friend, screw everyone else, I'm good. You know? And even like, we're switching schools next year. I'm like, oh, you'll make new friends. I don't need new friends. I have friends. No, I understand, but they're like, you're not going to see them on the day to day. Do you want to connect with new kids? No. But it doesn't bother her. Now, it used to bother her that her sister was so social. She makes friends everywhere she goes. And I say, because she makes an effort to connect, but you choose not to. That's fine. Yeah, that's right. So what do you want to do with that? Nothing. I just noticed she makes friends easier than I do. And I kind of threw it back to her because she's was almost complaining about it. But then the way you move with other kiddos,
right?
Like you're not, your sister works really hard to connect and lean in and you just don't. And that's okay. But I think it's also like honoring that, right? Like, how does your kid, not every kid needs to be the popular one, right? Not every kid needs a ton of friends. Some kids need a lot of socializing. And it's holding space for where your kid is and what they are, what maybe is, like, is it really bothering them to the extent that you feel like it is?
Right?
They may express it's bothering them. But is it really that big that they want to do that anything needs to change? Or is it just, hey, I'm noticing and I don't always like this feeling, but don't care enough to do anything about it or not motivated enough, right? Like, we have to really honor our kids' way of navigating the social world. You know, I have adult friends that like are kind of like Ansley, never met a stranger, like make friends everywhere they go. Everyone's like their best friend. And I'm like, I meet a lot of people. I have a lot of acquaintances. I don't necessarily add them a lot to my friend group because I'm very aware of what kind of energies I want in my world and what works for me and what doesn't.
Right.
But one way is not the right way and one way is not the wrong way. It's just like my disposition. This is my comfort space with my people. And kind of, we've talked about that too, right? Like, cause you're similar too. You don't need like 50 people. It's actually more stressful to have more people.
But I think if I had 50 people, I'd crawl under my bed.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, I think it's, honoring that. But I, again, these are all adult things that we can really lean into in our adult worlds because we don't have the same pressures. But I think if you're a kid like that, maybe it's a little harder.
Well, and again, right, we go back to it's all changing too. And I think this is a tough age. Like you mentioned a moment ago, like if you nail something too closely or too like directly with your kids, they shut down, right? This dance of like what we're seeing for them as parents, right? Because ultimately we are two therapist moms and Mike, right? But as parents who are moms, right, we're watching for this. We're watching acutely for these signs and symptoms that our kids are not okay, right? So how do we know? So, okay, so let's do the therapist thing for a minute.
Yeah.
You, as a child therapist, right, give some signs. How would one know if their child were not okay at this age? We're talking particularly right now about a tween group.
Yeah.
Right? So tweens what? Like, what would you say? Like, is it like, when does it start?
I'd say probably 10 to 12, 13-ish. Yeah, it's younger than I like, if you would ask me like 5 years ago, I would have probably said like 11, but man, these kids are on like fast forward, right. Which is the other thing to really think about. There's so much that is accelerated from when we were kids, but yet developmentally as humans, we are not developed. We're exposed to things at different paces, but we're not developing necessarily at different paces. Like your brain development is still what it is, regardless of what you're exposed to, right? So I would say probably like 10, maybe even in some kids, 9. Like I kind of see the flavorings pretty young. But I think any change in disposition, right? Like you have a happy kid and they're not that anymore, not even at home. Right. So I described what happened a couple weeks ago when we got like a quiet version of our kiddo. And I was like, I were like, something's up, but she wasn't talking and that's fine.
Right.
Now that was one day, one afternoon. That's one incident. If that becomes your kid's norm. Right. So I don't want every parent to be like, my kid came home upset. Like they might, because that happens. We're not talking about a temporary state. We're talking about like every day they come home and they're like this now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I see it a lot in school avoidance.
Okay.
Right. Like I no longer want to go to school. Mm-hmm. It may have nothing to do with the academics of school and everything to do with the socials of school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, any, I always tell people like any like distinct shifts in mood and behavior, and it's a tough age because you also get hormones, and I don't know about you, but whoa, the moods.
Oh my God. The moods
are no joke. I get growled at a lot. What is that? Like, I'm like, why are you growling? It's like, so like visceral and primitive. So we also have to throw that in there where it is hard to know what is. As a therapist, like what is hormonal depending on where your kid is in the puberty pathway,
yes,
and what is a shift because of a problem. And I think ultimately it's holding space for them to share, right? Listening.
Tell me what you think about this is the self-deprecating statements. That always has been a big red flag. Like I am fill in the blank to be a negative thing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because they might be hearing it or getting that message from somewhere else. I also, you know, my kids do have access to Messenger and can text their friends.
Yeah.
And I have every right to read those text messages.
Absolutely.
I dance around that a little bit because I want to give my kids, this is a really bad, I guess, metaphor, but I want my kids to get enough rope to hang themselves with safely with me standing there to catch them. Right. But I want them to mess up. So I don't over involve myself in that. But if you suspect something, you know, read those text messages. We had something years ago with my youngest. So it wasn't this tween age group, but she was fighting with a friend and I read those text messages and I was mortified at my child's behavior and the things she said. And I took the phone and I deleted the person. I blocked them more so my kiddo couldn't reach out to them. And I, you know, we had a long conversation of appropriate ways to handle conflict and not, and you don't get to be mean. but you get to hold your ground and you get to have boundaries, but you don't get to like put someone down or say some of these horrible things. She was young and she was feisty. So I got involved in that. Right. And I caught wind of it because she was raging. She was mad a lot and she would be on the phone texting and angry. And I was like, what is this about?
Right.
I have most of the time your kids won't come to you and tell you so-and-so is being mean to me, or they will, but it's like delayed, you know, it's like later that week at bedtime. A lot happens at bedtime. Check in with your kids at bedtime. I get all my answers at bedtime. If I ask at dinner, nothing. At bedtime, when they like start to fall asleep, and I'll just say like, how are you? Or what's new in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade this year? Mm-hmm. Right?
That's the car. So the car is, so I was actually sharing this with a dad yesterday, and he thought this was like really cool. We've always done these talks in the car because admittedly, I am an early bedtime person and I like hit a wall. I say turn into a pumpkin. It's like, I'm fine. Then I'm like, whoa, it's 8:22. Like, I got to go to bed.
Yeah. I'm
done. And I don't do well after I hit that pumpkin wall. So we have car conversations where we're kind of like, you know, parallel processing. I'm looking forward. She's looking forward. You know, we're not like, it's not, you know, let me look you in your eye and tell me all your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
And I run through a list of feelings. And we've done this ever since she was little. And I'll say something to the effect of, tell me the thing in your world that makes you the most happy right now. Tell me the thing in your world that makes you the most sad right now.
Yeah.
Tell me the thing in your world that makes you the most scared right now. And I usually will run through happy, sad, scared, angry, frustrated, confused, overwhelmed, loved, loving. And then I'll let her do me. And sometimes she'll throw in other emotions. Mm. But I've always been so amazed by the fact that I get answers that are different from what I expect every single time. The things that I think would be worrying her or on her mind or on her heart are not what she reports.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it too, right? We so often project what we think our kids would be upset about. That may not be the thing.
Right.
Yeah. Car talks are great because you also don't have eye contact. It's less intense. It's less. Yeah. Going on a walk, you know, I've got company often when I walk the dogs, and that's when chit chat happens because we're walking next to each other. There's no eye contact. It's a little more free flowing. We just do a simple version of kind of what you described. We do roses and thorns. What's your rose from today? What's your thorn?
Right. Yeah.
That's so great. And sometimes they give superficial answers if they're not into the game or don't want to talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other thing, right? You have to give them space to not talk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about that. And then we should probably wrap up, but let's dive into that one briefly. Right. So how does one know, Claudia, as a parent of a teen or a tween or even a younger kid, right? Because I've seen this in kids who are younger than tweens, where there have been problems, right, where the child has shut down. So where do we know? Where's the boundary where we want to honor our child's choice to either not be affected by something, even if we think they would be, or if we might have been affected by something?
Yeah.
Or they don't want to talk and we want to honor that prerogative versus a shutting down to where we should be concerned or alarmed, or even where are there ever times, right? And I'm sure this is a philosophical thing and people might differ, but are there ever times when the answer would be like, no, not talking to me is not a choice, right? This is a big enough deal that we need to discuss this. Say, for example, in like a trauma, for example.
Yeah, but you still can't make your kid talk about it. I mean, that is where their power and control lies. And or am I going to talk about it or not? And you can tell them you have to talk about it and they can say nothing.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. So that is the reality, right? That's the reality as parents. Like, we don't really have that much control over what our kids actually do when it comes to what, you know, how they want to behave. So here's my thought. Your tween going into teenage years, they're in entire developmental milestone is to individuate, right? To find themselves and to separate from you. That is why you hear less about their day or their friends or their whatever. And they call their friends and have conversations, but won't tell you anything. That is developmentally appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So I would argue that you can't ever force them to talk, but you always let them know you'll be there and that you have space for them. Mm-hmm. I think it's also, this is the tricky thing, right? Because communication like that does not start when they're 10, 11, 12, 13, 16 years old. It starts when they were two, asking you a gazillion questions or blabbering about something that you may or may not have had time for. And did you sit and listen or did you shut it down? Because if you shut it down at two and four and six, mm-hmm. and then you want to hear about their day at 13,
probably not going to happen.
Yeah, you can course correct that, right? But that's the work the parent would have to do then. So yeah. That's the thing, is that communication, like even for my kids, we talk about a lot, but they keep a lot to themselves until they feel like either they want to share it with me and some things they don't, right? The conversations we have is, I always have your back and I'm always here to listen. Even if it's just to unload, you mm-hmm. know, about whatever's going on. I've also learned that it's the art of listening and not diving in to correct them.
That's so right? big.
Yes. Because they just, you almost have to communicate them like a friend, not like a parent. And I'm not saying you should be their friend, but I'm saying when you hold space for them mm-hmm. and they're venting about this horrible thing a girl at school did, saying, well, maybe you did something to upset her, is going to shut it down. You can go there another time, but in that moment of venting and letting you know, it's just listening, being like, that's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here if you want to talk about it. And I'm here if you just want to vent about it. And they don't want their problem solved. Half of our solutions don't work in their world. We give them adult solutions to kid stuff, right? But it's holding the space for that and not giving them more marching orders on what to do. Now, there is a time when you could maybe, if you're noticing a pattern, have a conversation, but those have got to be kind of like separate things.
Right.
Right. Like a different time, not when they're trying to fill you in on, you know, their upset of the week. So it is a balance. It's getting used to the fact that you as a parent are pushed aside a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like this pre-adolescence into adolescence, right? They're becoming older. They're becoming their own person. And so it's really about letting them explore that, but still being the guardrails and the safety net if they fall.
Okay, I like that. Letting them explore, becoming their own person, but still being the guardrails and the safety net if they fall.
Yeah.
Good. Caption.
Yeah. And like, sometimes they're going to fall.
Oh yeah.
And like that's okay. Then you're the VEM. You're the first aid crew with the band-aids and the Neosporin. I don't know. Right. Like it's right. It's okay. I mean, mm-hmm. right. I always tell people like, let them have little falls. Like you don't let them crash, but like they can stumble, they can trip, they can, right. This is what they need to do to learn. Like don't let them crash and burn necessarily, right? But you can let them have these falls. So I think that's part of it when it comes to the communication part too. But you ask, you know, sometimes I'll just ask my daughter, like, what's the tea in sixth grade this week? And I don't really care what my husband's like, why do you care about sixth grade gossip? I don't care about sixth grade gossip. I care about her.
Exactly.
And I want to hear what her world is like. Mm-hmm. I don't actually care about the details, but I care about her environment and what she's experiencing. Does that make sense? So yeah. I will ask for gossip because I want to know what she's like, what's going on in her world.
Right. What the relevant issues are.
Yeah. Yep. And then there's days she won't talk about it. But I think, right, when do you need to like really, I don't want to say put your foot down, but like really get involved? Yes. If you start knowing these like significant mood changes in your kid and it's more than just the roller coaster of tweendom, right? And you're noticing like an overall shift in mood that's consistent. School avoidance. Oh my gosh, my words. And like dropping in grades, like things like that, where your kids just like, now the struggling is filtering into everything. Right. You know, the other thing that's really important to note is these kids, you know, when you and I were kids, if we had a hard time at school, I came home and home was my safe space. Right. If you wanted to call my house to be a jerk, you had to go through my mom. And you would have to talk, say, hi, is Claudia there? And then my mom would have to go get me. And she probably knew who it was. And so you had to be bold.
And only with, she weren't on the phone, because there were no, there was one line.
Right. So I'm in like a kitchen having this conversation. So you had to be pretty bold and ballsy to invade my home. But now your kids are texting people, can text, it can continue even when they're home. It doesn't stop. And I've worked with enough kids to where I'm like, well, just like, let's stop the text messaging, like get off of it. And they're like, yeah, but it happens without me present. Because what happens is those other kiddos who may be talking about you, they're on social media, they're texting each other. And so the chatter continues and more widespread. Like even when we were kids, if someone wanted to talk about me, they had to call that one other friend and then those two would talk. Now it can be a text chain with your whole school or some kind of social media. So I'm very aware that the bleeding of the issues is a little more far reaching than when I was a kid. I could, my home could be my safe space.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes at home it's not safe because your technology allows people to continue accessing you. Right. Yeah. So my kids don't have social media. So if someone wants to talk about them on social media, it is what it is, I guess. You know, I think those are the challenges that we as parents just have to try to navigate the best we can. But I think if it starts to get really intense with social media, that's when a school can get involved, right? Or maybe that is when you have to get involved with other parents, if it's like, you know, severe bullying online. Those are the things where I would then say, yes, you do have to advocate for your kiddo.
Okay, we've talked about so much. How do we summarize? Yeah. Basically, the task of the tween is to begin the individuation process. The task of the tween parent
is to survive it.
We let them, we do less, pop down, but watch for some of these kind of red flags, right? We watch for kind of a prolonged period of change in mood or disposition, difficulty with role responsibilities, not wanting to go to fill in the blank and usually school, but it could be happening other places. It could be happening at a club or at an extracurricular or at a church or synagogue, right? Where we're like, I don't want to go, mommy. I don't want to go. All of a sudden it doesn't feel like a safe place anymore. What's created that, right? Yeah. The self-deprecating statements. One of the things we didn't touch on that is something that we'll be like, oh yeah, duh, is body complaints, like upset tummies or headaches that really we can't figure out, that don't seem to have any real cause, right? Sometimes things manifest in the body for our kiddos, and paying attention for that. And then, like you said, being that safety net, being the guardrails, trying to create that safe space at home, trying to be that place of unconditional positive regard, where we are that safe space for them to be able to cry and get held and have fun and get feedback from us that they are wonderful and perfect in our eyes, just the way they are, while also trying to modify their behavior when they're assholes all at the same time.
Yeah. I love you just the way you are, but don't be like that. And throwing in hormones and moods. And I mean, it is a ride, and you know, it's temporary for them and it's temporary for us. Mm-hmm. Right. They'll find their space. They'll find their equilibrium. They'll find, like, it'll settle too, you know? But it is a tough age for them. It's a tough age for us as parents, because I don't think we know what to do. And I think it comes down to being very focused, like just focus on your kid, who they are as a human, not who you want them to be, not who you hope they would be, not who you think they should be. Right. But like, who's your kiddo and what support do they need from you? You know, and good luck. We're in it too. So Yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, should we wrap up for today?
We are, yes. And so we have, we are, for anyone that wants to see our faces, which you don't have to, don't feel obligated, but we are going to be putting these on YouTube now so you can see our podcast.
Yeah.
Which will probably just be me and Katie staring at each other.
Everybody but will be rushing to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, so we have that. And then
is our YouTube channel? What is it?
Oh, it's from our perspective to therapist moms and a mic. If you search that, there's a YouTube. It's connected.
We have brand consistency. So we're currently on Spotify app. What is it called? iTunes.
Yeah.
YouTube, Instagram, and individually we have our clinical websites: Mighty Oak Parenting and ClaudiaGlassman.com, and RobinKatieTruex.com.
Yes, we're everywhere. We're growing. Look at us doing social media. You can tell we're not social media people based on how we run this social media. We're trying.
We're stumbling through.
All we right. Well,
people had to call us on the phone to get us.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck, everyone, parenting those tweens, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.